Okay. No. Wow. You ruined the. It should go this. No. No. Okay. Do you know this guy? Who is it? Neil Armstrong. Yeah. And the second question, do you know how many individuals contributed to the Apollo project to enable Neil Armstrong to take that step? Any guess? Yes, yes. Anyone knew before that 400,000 people, astronauts, engineers, scientists, mathematicians, nurses, doctors, programmers, drivers, cooks, cleaners, and countless others. But can you name even one of them besides Neil Armstrong? No. And yet, without the 400,000, Neil Armstrong could never have taken that giant step for mankind, right? Today we continue our series, you know, the series about the unsung heroes of faith. We've done seven persons in the Arabic congregation, but this is the third, right? The third for you, I guess. And it is about the man with backward, forward, sheets. Yes. What's going on? Yeah, the man with the water jar. The man with the water jar appeared actually for only one brief moment in the gospel story, yet played a role in one of the most sacred events of human history, the Last Supper. The account of his story can be found in Luke 22, Mark 14, and Matthew 26. Though fleeting, his simple act of obedience became part of God's eternal drama. Here we meet the water jar guy, a man whose entire biblical appearance consists of carrying a water jar. His whole job description in the scripture is literally this: carry a jar of water, walk to house, enter the house. What a simple job description that maybe anyone would get it to get a job. The Saint Luke includes this detail in his gospel account. What is significant about the water jar guy? You may wonder, why does Luke mention this nameless man at all? His role doesn't appear grand. He doesn't preach, lead, or perform miracles. The Holy Spirit ensured that this story survived the centuries so we might learn from it. This man demonstrates that God regularly works through people whose names are never recognized in history or scripture. These are those who serve quietly, faithfully, behind the scenes, in the places and the moments God requires. Many of us ordinary, known only to a few, perhaps unnoticed or underappreciated, we can relate to this man, right? Most of us can relate to this man. We may sometimes feel that our work or presence goes unnoticed. This servant's story encourages every Christian to remember that God values and uses people who seem invisible to everyone else. Rejoice rejoice. There's an extraordinary twist to this story that would have stood out in its original cultural context. In the first century, Jewish warlord, men didn't carry jars of water. This was socially defined as woman's work. Consider the story of the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. She was there alone in the heat, drawing water, and every female responsibility. So when Jesus instructs Peter and John, look for a man carrying a jar of water, he was giving them a sign that would be impossible to miss. It was deeply unconventional and unexpected. In fact, I grew up in a culture very similar to this one. Where carrying water jars from outside the village to the home was a responsibility for women, and women only. My mother and my grandmothers would balance the jars on their heads, walking together in groups to collect water. It was unheard of to see a man carrying a water jar in this way. He would have looked strange, even embarrassed. Perhaps it's because men simply couldn't walk as gracefully with a jar balanced overhead. Maybe. The truth is, my grandmothers inherited this custom from their ancestors, the ancient Egyptians, as you see in the picture. Of course, those days are gone now. Clean water is available in every home. Imagine the man's situation. He risked embarrassment or ridicule by doing what his society considered beneath the honor of a man. This act was both humble and counterculture. A culture clash. A small yet meaningful display of servanthood. So, yeah. Following Jesus may demand that you swim against the culture tide, standing firm against prevailing customs. You may endure ridicule, scorn, and derision. They may label you as a religious extremist, maybe antiquated or narrow-minded. The question remains, are you willing to bear this cost? Are you willing to carry your jar of water? And here is the hidden gospel in the story. A hidden gospel. Where is the story? Is it a story? It's just moments or seconds of the life of this guy. Why does this matter for the gospel? Because Jesus was facing grave danger. The religious authorities, as we read in Luke 22, wanted to seize Jesus away from the public eyes, fearful that arresting him openly would spark riots among his followers. In verse 2, we read this. If Peter and John had walked around Jerusalem, which were crowded with millions of pilgrimage, the Jewish pilgrimage, openly speaking, a place for Jesus' final Passover meal, the location would surely have been discovered and Jesus might have been arrested before completing his mission. Yet Jesus needed a private, safe place to institute the Lord's Supper and to have the last Passover with his disciples. A meal that has united Christians across cultures, generations, and continents ever since. During the supper, he gave us the communion, washed the disciples' feet, spoke final instructions, prayed for them and for us, and prepared them for all that was to come. Most importantly, he established the new covenant, the invitation to forgiveness through his sacrifice. The water jar guy, his faithfulness, his small act led Peter and John directly to the prepared upper room. He unknowingly facilitated the event foundational to Christian worship and remembrance. His obedience provided the security Jesus needed. without this man's willingness to step into a humble, culturally awkward role, the events that night, the meal, the teaching, the prayers, might not have been possible. Wow. So God works through unknown servants. Here is the heart of the message. God wants and can use everyone, every individual, no matter how ordinary, hidden, or seemingly insignificant your role. Say this to yourself: God can use me. God wants to use me. God needs to use me. The kingdom needs me. So many of us feel like our contributions fade into the background of life. Perhaps the work is monotonous, doing chores, serving children, caring for family, helping at the church, handling paperwork, navigating daily frustrations, I don't know. The gospel affirms that every faithful act offered to God is significant. Every faithful act. It is not every big act or every famous act, but every faithful act offered to God is significant. The water jar carrier almost certainly wanted to bid with no knowledge of what he had made possible, right? Yet that night in the room he helped prepare, salvation history was advanced, and the disciples were equipped for missions that would encircle the globe, reaching even communities like ours, diverse in ethnicity and background. Have you ever heard of Edward Kimball? No? He was a man who became more and more active in his church, longing to make a difference in the lives of young people. His constant motto was, come and see. He was a Sunday school teacher. Edward saw great potential in one particular young man, but felt unsure how to reach him. In the end, Kimball made a simple decision to go directly to a shoe store where the young man worked. He found him in the back of the shop, wrapping shoes. Nervously, Kimball placed his hand on the young man's shoulder and began to share a brief gospel message. It was short and to the point. Son, Christ loves you, and all he asks is that you accept that love and love him in return. With that, Kimball left. As things turned out, that young man did indeed accept the Christ on April 21st, 1855. His name was D.L. Moody. It should reveal Moody. Moody next to Kimball. Yeah, it's okay. You can imagine. It's Moody behind this thing. Something like these Zoom meetings, you know? 80 years later, in Charlotte, North Carolina, America, there was a farmer named Albert McMakin. This is Albert McMakin. Do you know Albert McMakin? He was just 24 years, and he had come to faith in Christ, full of enthusiasm. Albert filled his truck with people and took them to a meeting where Mordecai Ham was preaching. This is Mordecai Ham. Actually, here is F.B. Meyer. Maybe you are familiar with F.B. Meyer. And Wilbur Chapman and Billy Sunday, they are a great preachers in the whole history. It started with Edward Kimball, a Sunday school teacher who prayed just a very small prayer for this son who was moody. Dwight Moody. So let us go now to Albert McMahon. Yeah, you are guessing who is next. Any guess?
Yes.
Yes, you know, because you know the sermon. Yeah. Among the group was a son of a fellow farmer, someone Albert especially wanted to bring along. But this young man was not easy to persuade. He was busy falling in and out of love with different girls and showed little interest. Yet Albert found a way. He asked the boy, I guess he was 16 years old, if he would drive the truck. And yes, ask a boy 16 years old to drive a truck. That simple invitation was enough to get him there. Once they arrived, Albert's guest decided to go inside. He was captivated. Thoughts he would never known before began to stir in his heart. He came back night after night, driving the truck, until one evening he walked forward and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. That young truck driver was Billy Graham. Did you know, you will never find a picture of Albert McMahon on the internet. Whenever you search for McMahon, Albert McMahon, you will see images of to Billy Graham. A lot, thousands. Maybe one or two of the preacher Mordecai Ham, but almost nothing of Albert himself. It matters not whether you are known by men, it is enough to be known by God. It matters not whether people see your service or not, what matters is that God sees. How God uses the unknown servants, how God can use you and me. Follow him faithfully. The man we talk about today was a genuine disciple of Jesus. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have entrusted himself and his sacred night to him. He was one of those who believed in Christ, the Son of God, and surrendered their lives to him. He was like Peter, John, Mary Magdalene, and all those who were found by Jesus and had their lives changed. You too can start with authentic faith in Christ right now. Scripture declares that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, Romans 3:23. Sin separates us, and its penalty is death. More than physical death, it means a spiritual separation from God, spiritual, eternal separation from God. But the good news is that Jesus, perfect and sinless, died in our place. He conquered death, he was raised to life, opening the way for forgiveness and eternal relationship with God. No matter one's background, this invitation applies equally. If anyone here hasn't taken that first step, today is the day. Now is the time. Trust in Christ. Accept his gift. For those already following Christ, maintain daily spiritual awareness through scripture, prayer, and openness to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Follow faithfully and live obediently. The water jar guy obeyed in a simple, perhaps bothersome way. He didn't know what was at stake. He simply did what was required. So often, faithfulness means performing tasks that seem lowly, repetitive, or unnoticed. Obedience is not about earning God's approval, but responding to his love with willing hearts. Sometimes serving God means stepping into culturally awkward roles or doing something outside our comfort zone, as the water jar carried it. God sees the treasure, the treasures every act, the small and hidden, the difficult and the routine. He weaves them into his unfolding purposes in ways we may never see until heaven. Peter and John also obeyed Jesus' instruction. though mysterious, and they followed a strange man they didn't know to a place they didn't never been before. They simply trusted and followed. How long have you been faithfully carrying your jar of water? Perhaps in rules that seem invisible to those around you, perhaps guided by family duty, professional routine, or church service. Be encouraged. God notices, God knows, God sees. He uses your dedication, connects it to his eternal purposes, and brings grace to others through your obedience. Thirdly, grow daily. Christianity is a life of growth, wonder, and spiritual progress. We are not called to stagnation, but to mature in faith and love. Learning from scripture, engaging in prayer, growing through fellowship and service, both joys and hardships from child rearing to caring for elders, from friendship to hospitality, are occasions for spiritual deepening. Our multicultural church here in Windham, which I love, brings together traditions and stories from many backgrounds, right? Each perspective enriches our understanding and our discipleship. Encourage one another to keep growing regardless of circumstances, knowing nothing invested for God is wasted. Perspective for eternity. Imagine meeting the water jar guy in heaven, hearing his story, his astonishment at the legacy of his faithfulness, his small act facilitated communion, prepared the disciples, and supported Jesus in going to the cross. After Jesus rose in victory, ascended, and intercedes for us, his work continues through people willing to serve, to be sent, to be ready. All this unfolded because a nameless man was faithful with a jar of water. In every culture and every generation, God operates through people who may never be celebrated publicly, but who participate fully in his plan. Your work, your service, and faith, no matter how unassuming, play a role in God's mission. Often what seems insignificant in the moment might someday be revealed as a vital link in the chain of grace leading someone toward salvation, hope, and life. When we will, in heaven, of course, we will meet this guy, but I guess he will not be carrying a water jar in heaven. Who knows? But I think when we meet him, and when the time comes to know each other, and we ask him, "What's your name? Who are you?" And he would say, "I am the water jar guy. I am the..." Yes, yeah, we know that. We read this in the Bible. "What's your name?" "Yes, this is my name. I am identified by what I worked. Not by my name, not by any other thing else. This is what matters. To serve God, to obey him." So today it is a call to faithful service. God can use you in a world obsessed with fame, awards, and online recognition, influencers, celebrities. You follow the Instagram and what's else, the YouTube, the Facebook, Twitter, or X, or whatever, and you can see people are crazy about getting more likes or followers or whatever. The gospel speaks a better word. God values faithfulness over celebrity, service over status, obedience over self-promotion. He uses people who change nappies at midnight, navigate traffic jams maybe, serve elderly neighbors, lead children's ministry, teach Sunday school, carry out unpaid family responsibilities, perform tasks that seem unworthy of notice. Whatever jar of water you are carrying, it matters in the kingdom of God. Stay connected to Christ by faith. Obey in the small things. God often multiplies little acts for big outcomes. Keep growing, adapting, and learning within our diverse fellowship, which is a great thing here. All our experiences and cultures, you see that I shared some of my culture to enrich the story. I don't know what was the culture in Australia here. So the church is strong and get stronger for the future. Encourage and support one another. Seek unity in Christ and remain open to being used by God in unexpected ways. Be available. Be faithful. Be ready. When the final story is written and all is revealed, may we rejoice that our simple obedience, like the man with the jar of water, helped facilitate God's purposes here in Wyndham, in Melbourne, in Australia, and beyond. Finally, let me share this from the jar carrier to the cross carrier. Because the cross is the thing that give the value for everything we do. The man carried a jar of water and walked the streets of Jerusalem, leading Peter and John to where they prepared the last Passover of Christ. Jesus carried the cross and walked the streets of Jerusalem to Golgotha, as the real Passover, to accomplish our redemption so we could become God's children forever. He had no beauty or majesty. He was despised and rejected. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant for you and for me. Do you believe? Say it, I believe. If you believe, say it, I believe. Do you accept? Yes, I accept. Do you follow him? I am, and I will keep following him forever. Do you serve him?
Yes.
Beautiful. Look around. Seize opportunity. Redeem the time, because the Lord is near. Amen? Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ through the cross. Thank you for your invitation today for everyone to be a faithful servant in your kingdom. Help us to follow you faithfully, to live obediently before you, and to grow in you daily, fixing our eyes on our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, for his glory.